This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivisodi. Less than 4 months after India was declared polio-free, the WHO has issued a statement declaring that polio is an emerging public health emergency. What does that mean and why is the term emergency being used? Dr. Mark Jacobs, Director of Combating Communicable Diseases at the WHO Regional Office for the Western Pacific, he joins me over the phone from Manila to explain. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mark. How are you today?
Yeah, well, thank you. How are you?
Mark, why are we so concerned about an emergency? I mean, I honestly thought that polio was something of the past and we didn't really have to worry about it anymore. But what's this emergency all about?
Well, I guess the thing with polio is that for most countries in the world, they're no longer seeing cases of polio. We're really only talking about 10 countries in the world that are currently seeing cases of polio. For the rest of the countries, it's because we've done well with immunization. But the problem with polio is it's very infectious, and while any part of the world is seeing polio, there's still risk for the rest of us, particularly where there's gaps in our immunization coverage. And what we've seen this year is that there's been a number of cases being exported from one country to another. Mm-hmm. And that means there's quite a high risk that's going to keep on happening, which means there's quite a high risk of polio re-emerging in other countries too. And it's something that we're very concerned about.
What is polio, Dr. Mark? Is it a virus?
Yeah, polio is a virus. It's a viral infection, and it's most easily spread by what's called the fecal-oral route. So if people like eat food, drink water that's been contaminated with feces, that's quite easy to spread in that way. It can also spread from person to person.
And the symptoms would be?
Well, for most people, they don't actually get any symptoms at all, and they wouldn't even know they'd been infected. Some people get like a flu-like illness, mm-hmm. And then about 1 in 200 people that are infected get paralysis, for instance, that is generally permanent, and some people die.
Does that mean that, you know, there are many of us who may be asymptomatic carriers?
Well, it's certainly possible for people to be carrying the virus for a few weeks after getting infected and not get sick. But I think for countries that have been declared polio-free, if there were many people out there who were actually carrying the virus, we'd be seeing cases of people getting sick. And so I think we can be pretty sure that for countries like Malaysia and so on that have been declared polio-free, there aren't people out there who are carrying the virus.
How does a country, you know, get declared as being polio-free?
There's actually quite a formal process. And so for every country in our region, we've actually got a national committee that looks at any cases of, you know, that might be polio, because there's a number of different sort of diseases that initially could look a bit like polio. So each of those cases has to be picked up straight away, have to be considered, has to be reported to WHO. And so every year they're actually doing reports to WHO. So it's actually quite a big process. And it's not something that you can be declared once as being polio-free and then you're polio-free forever. It's something that's kept very much under review, because, you know, being polio-free last year is no guarantee you'll be polio-free next year, mm-hmm. particularly if there's gaps in immunisation coverage.
And also, doesn't the virus sort of mutate, and how do we keep ahead of the virus in terms of vaccinations?
Yeah, the virus doesn't change too much in terms of mutation. It's not like influenza where it's mutating all the time, and so every year we've got to change the vaccine. With the with polio, we've had good vaccines since the 1950s and 1960s, and they're still good vaccines. So that's something that's very much in our favour.
Right. So the problem now is the gaps in immunisation, and there are certain countries that seem to be having this problem. I think Pakistan is one of them, Afghanistan, Nigeria. They've failed to eradicate polio. Would you like to elaborate a little? And I think that's the World Health Organization's biggest concern.
Certainly our biggest concern is that there are a number of countries that continue to see cases of polio. There's three countries in the world that have what's called endemic polio. So that means the virus just keeps on circulating. And that's Pakistan, Afghanistan and Nigeria. But there's 10 countries altogether that are currently seeing cases. So the others see cases for a while and then it sort of stops, and then they might re-import them. So that really is quite a concern, and that really does reflect that there are gaps in the immunisation coverage in those countries. And often what we see actually is if there are broader problems in countries, so problems of conflict or problems of sort of societal breakdown, one of the things that suffers are basic things like immunisation programs. And so it's actually quite common that we see the return of some of these serious diseases in countries where they're suffering from conflict.
But if only three countries in the world, all this time, Afghanistan, Pakistan and Nigeria, failed to eradicate polio, then how has this problem sort of gotten a little out of hand that the WHO has decided to declare an emergency?
Yeah, it reflects the fact that people, of course, move from country to country. Mm-hmm. And so while we have three countries with endemic polio, so this ongoing problem, we've got another seven countries that are seeing cases and outbreaks of polio, and we've had at least three different countries export polio so far this year to other countries, even though it's actually polio is quite seasonal and we would expect not much to be happening at the moment with polio. But even so, there's been these three exports. So, and we know that there are lots of other countries with gaps in their immunisation coverage. So they're kind of a problem waiting to happen. You know, whilst countries are exporting polio, while people are moving from one country to another carrying polio, then you know, the risk remains, and the risk is quite high for many other countries that if they got a case of polio come into their country, they would then get quite likely a big outbreak, which would be a very big concern.
Dr. Mark, analysts are concerned that the virus appears to be spreading during what has traditionally been the low season of polio infection. Is that a concern?
It's certainly something that WHO is very concerned about, that there's been three different countries exporting polio to other countries so far this year in a time when we would normally not expect to see so much polio. And that's really the big reason why WHO has come out with this declaration of polio as a public health emergency.
How much does eradication efforts actually cost?
I don't know the answer to that. Obviously, to eradicate polio has involved immunisation being provided to as close to 100% of children as we can manage in every country of the world, and that's been happening for decades now. So, you know, so that has been a big investment, both in terms of the cost of vaccines and the time for people and so on, although the vaccines themselves are pretty inexpensive. But, you know, it is a big investment. But having said that, the estimates are if we can actually achieve eradication, that's actually going to save something like $20 billion US over the next 20 years or so. So, you know, there's a lot of savings that have already been achieved and a lot of savings that can still be made.
Right. And this whole global fight against polio, has it pretty much taken the form of through immunization, or have there been other efforts to complement in order to try and eradicate it?
The big measure that's been followed is immunisation. We have the enormously important weapon in this fight that we have vaccines available to us that are very effective. And we know they're effective and they continue to be effective. So that has been the key. But of course, we also need to make sure that we have systems in place in all of our countries that can quickly identify cases of polio that might be happening, so then we can react very quickly to that. But really, immunisation has been the key and continues to be the key, and it'll keep on being the key until we have a world that's free of polio.
Who bears the cost of this?
The cost of preventing polio is shared, really. I mean, in a lot of countries, it's paid for by ministries of health. In other words, it's paid for by the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. For, you know, other countries, they get donor support. There's, of course, you know, costs for WHO and other UN organisations and so on. So it varies a bit from country to country. And, of course, when you're talking about the costs of polio itself, well, then any cases of polio is going to produce very big costs to the families involved and to the communities involved as well.
How does the WHO get countries involved and to take an active stance in an immunisation process like this?
Well, for any disease that we think is a high priority and we think there's a need for global action, what tends to happen is we talk to countries around the world, and where there's consensus that we really want to take a very strong global approach to it, then there are global agreements that are reached. And certainly we had a global agreement back in 1988 about the need to move towards eradicating polio, and there's been very big improvements since then. I mean, in 1988 we had something like 350,000 cases of polio around the world in about 125 countries. And you know, compared to 2013, we had 406 cases in three endemic countries. So, you know, so through that global consensus, there has been very, very big improvements, but we're not at the end of that road yet.
It must be disheartening that, you know, it's rearing its head once again, isn't it, after all that effort that went into it, you know, over the years.
It is a concern that the risk remains, but at the end of the day, I'm still very optimistic about the future for polio, because, I mean, we're really, as a global community, we're not far away from eradicating it. And you know, we know how to do it. We have the tools available to us. It's really just making sure that we continue to have the will to do it.
Why is it such a difficult virus to eradicate?
Well, in fact, it's actually not that difficult. If you think about the many, many different viruses that infect people, I mean, we've eradicated smallpox. Polio is the next one. So, in fact, it's one of the easier ones to eradicate, in a sense, because we have, you know, we have a very effective vaccine that's inexpensive. And so we know if we get, and there is no other animal that's infected by polio. So if we know we stop people getting polio, then we're going to stop polio, just like we stopped smallpox. So the difficulty really is just maintaining the effort, and particularly where countries are suffering from other problems, trying to make sure that children can still be immunized, even where there's, you know, conflict happening, other you know, societal breakdowns. That's really the challenge for countries other than those countries suffering from major conflicts. You know, the achievements have still been excellent, and they've been maintained.
We're discussing the world facing a polio health emergency. When we come back, we'll find out more about the path the WHO has actually charted out towards trying to, you know, get rid of this declaration of an emergency. That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. Dr. Mark Jacobs, Director of Combating Communicable Diseases at the WHO Regional Office for the Western Pacific, on the line with me from Manila. We're discussing the world facing a polio health emergency. Dr. Mark, what are there different types of polio?
There's three different sorts of polio, but the main vaccine that we use covers against all three of those. And in fact, there's actually, for one of the types, there's been no cases since 1999.
Pakistan has in the past been deep in the grip of the polio virus. And as you said, depending on, especially countries who are in conflict, it's a little bit more difficult to establish these immunization campaigns. But what I was reading, and quite interestingly, it is politicized. Immunization is politicized to a certain extent as well, isn't it?
Well, it can be, and certainly if there's issues of, you know, broader conflict or broader concern about government or the way that society is working, well, immunisation can get caught up in that. I mean, there's nothing inherently political about immunisation, but, you know, if there's concerns around, for instance, broader government action or whatever, then immunisation can be, you know, a face of government, can also be a face of donors and therefore a face of other countries. So if there's suspicion about that, then immunisation can suffer, and then that means the health of children can suffer.
Does the WHO play a role at all? Because aid workers sometimes are attacked by militants when they're trying to administer the vaccine. Does the WHO get involved at levels like this?
Yeah, I'm not sure to what extent as an organisation we get involved. I suspect that within the particular countries concerned, the local WHO staff do have some involvement in trying to build trust in immunisation and immunisation programs. But, you know, how they're doing that, I suspect, varies quite a lot from country to country.
And the significance of this declaration, what does it mean to all of us?
Well, I guess the first thing to say about this declaration is that the declaration has been made under something called the International Health Regulations, which is like an international health treaty. Now, that treaty has been in place for 9 years now, and this is the second time there's been a declaration. So it's something that's rare. It's not something that we do very often, and it's something we do quite reluctantly. And the only other thing that has prompted a declaration was the influenza pandemic a few years ago. So it's an important thing, and it's an indication of how concerned we are about it. And it means that, you know, that as an organisation, we really are concerned about what might be happening with polio. These sort of declarations are particularly issued where we're worried about international spread of some sort of public health threat. And that's the particular concern around polio, that we're going to see it in more and more countries.
And so as a result, what kind of coordinated international response needs to be orchestrated to deal with this?
Well, there's a few things. Certainly there have been some very clear and concrete recommendations made to the countries that are currently suffering from polio, and some very clear expectations about what those countries will be doing to try and tackle that. There's also going to be very regular global oversight led by WHO and regular reassessment of the state of the emergency. And of course, broader recommendations to the rest of the global community. And really, I guess, for you know, the rest of the world, the key message here is that it's a bit of a wake-up call that polio hasn't gone away, and that every country in the world needs to be really having this at the front of their minds and doing what we can to make sure that immunisation coverage is as high as it can be in all of our communities, because it really doesn't matter where you are in the world. If there's gaps in immunisation coverage in a country, then that country is at risk of seeing polio again.
But what power does the WHO have to ensure that action is actually taken?
Well, the international health regulations are a treaty, in effect. So, you know, so it's an important international document that countries have signed up to. But having said that, of course, we don't have teeth in the sense of, you know, being able to put sanctions in place on a country that doesn't follow or anything like that. And there's no sense at all that's what would be appropriate to do. But, you know, countries that have signed up to the international health regulations, they recognise that it's a very important document, and they put a lot of importance in the recommendations and agreements that have come out of that. And so I'm sure that the governments concerned are taking this extremely seriously. And apart from anything else, it's not the sort of having recommendations aimed at you as a country around, you know, polio being a problem and the need for people in that country, if they're going overseas, to be immunised and having to show proof of immunisation. It's not something that governments would be very comfortable about. It's something that they would like to fix so that their country gets removed from the list, because, you know, it can be a bit embarrassing for a government to have your country named so explicitly in that way as being you know, part of a public health emergency. So I'm very confident that these countries are going to be taking these recommendations very seriously.
So what does all of this mean for a country like Malaysia? I mean, we've been polio-free for quite a long time now. But do we need to be very concerned?
I think for a country like Malaysia, where, as you say, Malaysia's been polio-free for quite some time, and in fact our whole region has been polio-free since the year 2000, it's really a timely reminder that polio is still around, and a timely reminder that immunisation against polio continues to be important. And so I think it prompts every country in our region to look again at how good the immunisation coverage is for polio and whether there are gaps in that coverage, because if there are gaps, then that poses a risk.
How quickly can polio become endemic in a country?
Well, certainly polio outbreaks can happen very quickly if there is a gap in coverage. So all it really takes is for somebody to come into the country carrying polio, and the chances are that they won't be sick and won't know they're carrying it. You know, they can then very quickly infect other people they come in contact with. You know, it is a very infectious virus. You know, for it to become endemic so that it's circulating on an ongoing basis, that takes a while at least to reach that definition. But to see an outbreak, that can happen very quickly if there's immunisation gaps.
The WHO lists Afghanistan, Equatorial Guinea, Ethiopia, Iraq, Israel, Somalia and Nigeria as ongoing risks for new wild poliovirus exportations this year. What is a wild poliovirus?
Well, wild polio means like the natural form of polio. And the reason that we use that term is because there is an extremely low chance of the strain that's in one of the vaccines, the vaccine that children swallow, that can also occasionally cause cases of polio. It's like 1 in 750,000 chance. So in a country that's eradicated polio, that's what if they're going to see any polio at all, that's what they're likely to see. And that's the reason why globally we're moving towards every country using the injection against polio, which I think Malaysia's been using for a few years now, is to deal with that very rare possibility.
And when, just looking on a wider scale, can polio become endemic worldwide again, do you think? I mean, fingers crossed, hopefully not. But do you think it can?
It could certainly become endemic in more countries. There would be quite a few countries around the world and some countries in our own region where certainly immunisation coverage isn't high enough currently, where there's gaps in that coverage. And all it takes for those countries to start having problems with endemic polio again is someone to bring the virus in. Mm-hmm. So there's no guarantee that we're safe from polio yet. And that risk is going to remain whilst polio is anywhere in the world. So whilst polio is even in one country, there's a risk to all countries that they can see cases of polio. So we really do need to keep up our own focus in our own countries on our immunisation coverage. But as a world community, work with the countries that are having particular problems and make sure those problems are dealt with, because that's the best way of dealing with the risk to all of us.
Air travel doesn't help in instances like this, does it?
Well, that's right. The way that polio can spread from one country to another country is via a person travelling. Whether that person is travelling by plane or by boat or walking, mm-hmm. That's the way that polio spreads. So, you're right that, the amount that people travel around the world now does pose additional risks for many, many infectious diseases. And certainly, go back 100 years and people could see pandemic influenza coming months off. Now, the first you might know about a pandemic of influenza is that you start seeing cases in your local hospital.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an emergency now. What have been some of the gains made in the fight against polio? Is it purely financial gains or, what are some of the other gains?
Well, there's been enormous health gains in the fight against polio. I mean, the vaccines have been around since the 50s and 60s, although different countries started using them at different times. But, there's been many countries now that for decades have been free of polio, which means free of children dying, children developing permanent paralysis and disability. And even in more recent decades, since 1988 and the global declaration of a goal to eradicate polio, we've seen cases around the world reduced by more than 99%. They've gone from 350,000 cases to 406 cases in a year. I mean, huge reductions, and that means huge improvements in health in the countries right around the world, which is something that we can all be very proud of.
What criteria would need to be met before a country is declared free of polio?
There's a mixture of things. They need to not be getting cases of polio reported, and consistently reported over quite a period of time. But the other thing is they need to have very good systems in place so that if polio really was happening in that country, that the country would identify it. So it's not just enough to send in a report once a year saying we've seen no polio. You need to actually have very good disease surveillance systems and reporting systems and also some independent oversight of that. So it's not just a matter of a health ministry bureaucrat like I used to be saying it. You actually need to have like a national committee involving independent clinicians and so on that all sign off on that.
And what treatment is available for polio?
Well, in fact, there's not really any treatment at all. Once somebody develops the paralysis, there's nothing really that can be done. And so that's really one of the bad things about polio, that once you get sick, it's really too late to do anything about it. You've missed the boat. The only intervention that works against polio is immunisation, so preventing it happening in the first place.
What are the rates of patients left with disability from polio?
There's about, if somebody gets infected with polio, there's about a 1 in 200 chance that they will develop paralysis, and that paralysis is generally permanent.
Right, okay. And there's something called the post-polio syndrome?
Yeah, and so that is being increasingly recognised, and that affects people that actually had developed paralysis earlier on. So it doesn't affect people who got infected with polio and didn't develop any symptoms, but for people who got paralysis, Well, over time, you know, some of their other muscles can be working extra hard to help them get better at walking and so on. And what can happen over decades is that there can be problems, weakness can be building up, more paralysis can be coming back, those sorts of things. And it's still not completely clear why that is. But it may just be because of the, you know, the chronic damage to the nerves that resulted from polio. Mm-hmm. It might be that you know, other nerves are working extra hard to try and deal with the ones that were damaged by polio in the first place.
Once you've had polio, Dr. Mark, can you get it again?
No.
You can't.
No, and that's also why the vaccine works permanently. So once you've had a full course of the polio vaccine, you're protected.
What is the outlook for global eradication at the moment?
I'm still optimistic that we're going to achieve our eradication goals for polio. We're not very far away from doing that. But we're really at an important time because, you know, we can, as a global community, we can either keep on moving forward on eradication, work very closely, very hard with the countries that are currently having a problem, and really get rid of polio forever, just like we got rid of smallpox. But now, if we drop the ball on this, either through not working hard enough with those affected countries or by not having high enough coverage in every country against polio, then we could easily see the situation get worse again. But overall, I'm optimistic.
Your message on the subject of polio being a public health emergency?
The key message really is that polio is a horrible disease. It's a nasty thing to get, causes permanent problems, and it can kill children too. It's also very infectious, but it is something that's easy to prevent. We've got safe and effective vaccines, and it really what we're dealing with now is something that's a timely reminder for all of us, whether it's for governments or health workers or for families, that, you know, if there are children out there that haven't been immunised against polio, now is a good time to get them immunised.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Dr. Mark Jacobs, Director of Combating Communicable Diseases at the WHO Regional Office for the Western Pacific, on the world facing a polio health emergency, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.